Good to have you with us today. We approach holiday weekend. That is quite a tradition in our country. The Founding Fathers so designated. Tradition, of course, being, you know how that story gets told, of the first settlers who came. Celebrate the harvest. They invited natives with them, and they made the first Thanksgiving. We actually read the recording of that. I believe it was written. If it is accurate by the government at that time, as we celebrated ever since then, for Thursday, September, November. Has been selected as a time for Thanksgiving. This past week always brings back memories to me that I recall exactly where I was in 1963. Some of you will remember. But 1963, the day our president was assassinated. And it's just been, you know, when you think about that, and I just remember those events. We went into Thanksgiving weekend, all of the TV coverage at that time, those things were kind of etched in my memory. I know that many of you that travel, we have some who are away this weekend visiting and vacationing a little. Some of you may travel, some of you may eat alone, some of you will visit relatives, family, friends, but as we all do that, it is mindful. Not only on Thursday, but every day of our lives, give thanks for all the incredible blessings and things that we've been blessed with. Yesterday, several people came. I didn't really count. It seemed like 35 or 40 ish. That were a lot of people. And some of you got here on time, and some of you did not. But anyhow, some of us, somehow, some of me, convinced my wife that it wasn't until 10:30. I don't know where that came from, but anyhow, we showed up about 10:15 and you were there. So it was awesome. But you had a great crew here. It was pretty amazing to see 45 crew members prepared to make everyone eager for all their winning rounds to get together and do that. Hopefully, we'll get most of those to be delivered in the next few days. Maybe we meeting singing, and he asked me what I was preaching about, and I told him Thanksgiving, and he started thinking about songs. And I suggested here we are in Australian buildings, but that didn't seem to meet his thing. So Kenneth, maybe that's a good song. But, you know, I heard a couple things in reference to this, is that Wednesday night before we go to bed, we should turn our scales back 15 pounds. That might help, and that's a good idea. Somebody else said, you know, that going on the diet, but now there's another scare with romaine lettuce, so there's no reason to do that now, so just wait until later to do that. But anyhow, we're grateful that you're here. Again, hope you have a great week. Your eyes today is November 24th, and it's only 1 month until Santa Claus comes, so some of you got a little improvement to do. You're going to get on the good list, I think. This morning, Scott read through the Psalm 100. The 100th Psalm is a beautiful psalm. But it's a psalm that reminds us about the fact of what God has done for us. That He is God. And that He has made us. And that we're the sheep of His pasture. And that we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving. And into His fortress with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Thanksgiving was not something that originated with pilgrims. The concept of thanksgiving has been present since God created man. It was not long after the creation of man that he instructed Cain and Abel. When he sacrifices, a sacrifice is a show of thanksgiving and appreciation for what God has done. And for throughout the history of man, we have been exhorted and we have been encouraged to show thanks to God for what he's done. Because you see, we can never outgive him, we can never outlove him, we can never outdo him. But we can be thankful. Tragically, sometimes we're not thankful. Tragically, sometimes we're sort of maybe like the animals, or some of them described it often as the hogs, the men, or out. But all day long, they eat the acorns and they never look up. How many times have we enjoyed the magnificence of the sunshine and the rain and all the things that we are blessed with? But we never pause to say thank you for what you gave. One of my favorite things that the teacher always was to use little acronyms. And so today we're going to do that. And thinking of this, that we should be the most thankful people in all the world. And as we enter this Thanksgiving weekend, I'm going to take the word Thanksgiving. Wow, that's a long word, but Thanksgiving. I promise I won't spend a long time on each letter. But we're going to take each letter of Thanksgiving and we're going to make an application of something hopefully that will help us be more reflective and good. And as we do this, I'm sure as you're sitting there in your mind, and one day we did this in Baby's Bible Classroom, I was teaching, I think we had the word friends. And I isolated to make an acronym out of friends. But I remember most people with the F put down thankful for the great person. And all those different things you can come up with. So maybe as you're thinking about this today, maybe later you can take the word Thanksgiving and make up your own acronym about it. These are some that I thought we could put scriptures to that might be applicable to that. One of the things we can be thankful for, first of all, is freedom. Isn't it crazy that the world we live in today, that we turn on the television, and we turn on CNN, we can't believe anything we hear, and we go to Fox, and we can't believe anything we hear based on what CNN says and Fox says, that nobody's telling the truth. We don't really know, you know, when we think about it sometimes, so we sit here and kind of scratch our head. You know? We've had all these congressional hearings with this impeachment inquiry, and we hear people say things, and then we hear a big question, and, well, that's not what I heard, or that's not what I saw. But you just said that, but you don't know what you're saying. Who would have ever thought that our FBI would be the point that we didn't trust in? That's scary that we can't even trust people that are in elected positions in office. Right? So we think about what really is the truth. I can tell you the truth. The truth is the Word of God. And when all other truth fails, the Lord promises you that the Word of God will never fail you. Fox News may misaccurately report and CNN and NBC and CBS and all of those, you see, that they're not infallible because they're human. But the words that we learn from Scripture are the truth. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." When Jesus was before Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" In John 17, Jesus has answered that question. He said, "Pray to the Father, sanctify them through thy word." Thy word. But one of the things that we need to really be thankful for is the concept of the Thanksgiving this year is the fact that we have truth. And we know that the words of the Bible are true. So we know that we are instructed through the plan of salvation, and we know that when we are promised salvation and all those things that we are promised, they thankful for that. Jesus said in John 14, and we just studied this on Wednesday night. Jesus had just told his followers in chapter 13 that he's about to go away, where I'm going, you cannot come. And they're deeply saddened, and they're distressed, and they're depressed. And he said, "Fret not your heart. You believe in God, believe also in me. You go to my Father's house and many mansions, and I will not show up and spoke it. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be." I'm thankful for heaven because heaven assures me that this world is not my eternal home. That this place is not somewhere that I'm going to live forever. I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim here. And I won't live here forever. But that Jesus is going to prepare something better for me. A place where there is no cancer. A place where there are no heart. A place where there is no death. And no more separation. A place where there is no more tears. There is no more pain. There is no more sorrow. We often send up tears to heaven. That's what heaven is. And you see heaven also like really beautiful. But you see heaven affords us hope. The Apostle Paul said that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But because Jesus came and lived and died, we have hope of heaven. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful to know that on the other side, that we can be reunited with friends and loved ones. I'm thankful to know that those who have died in the Lord that we love are and will be in a better place. That's why Jesus said, "Let not your hearts." That's why the Hebrew writer says that he came to remove the fear of death. We should no longer fear that. We also can think about the age. You know, we can think about that in reality. We can think about the abundance of what we have in America. You know, I venture to say that probably many of us will not throw out more food and scraps what many people in the world could purchase many of us to eat in a week. I'm not in my house. But you know, some of us, because we're wasteful. But the thing about it is the fact that we have an abundance. And we are so blessed to do that. You know, nothing used to irritate me any more when I was in Mexico and to be in capital. And we would have someone who would come, maybe with the Second Harvest Food Bank or one of the other charitable organizations, and they would try to put our students on a guilt trip. One day we had a guy show up and he says, "Well, if I pull in this morning, I noticed all the cars out in the parking lot, and I noticed this and that." And don't try to make the students feel guilty because they're not. Don't try to make them feel guilty because their parents have worked hard for them. Don't try to send the students on the guilt trip. Just talk about how the abundance that God has blessed them with, but don't make them feel guilty and say, "You have all these things that other people don't." I am thankful for the abundance that we have. Because God has put us here in the now, because we are thankful, we're generous. I have often talked about the fact that if our hearts are always in the right place, and we are as thankful as we should, and a relationship with God is as it should be, preachers never should really have to, or elders should never have to exhort congregation to give. Because the love of what we have and the appreciation makes difference. I'm so thankful for the abundance that we have visited. We are all at different places. But the fact is that probably none of us went to bed hungry last night. Unless we chose to. You know, none of us woke up this morning probably with nothing to eat. All of you will have lunch and dinner unless you're super hungry. And the fact of the matter is that some some way or another, most of us will have something to eat on Thursday. But the point is just we have an abundance of physical things, but that's not really the significance of the most important part of the age, because it really goes back to the age. Jesus said that I have come that you might have life. That you might enjoy the Christian life. That you might enjoy the blessings that you have. That you might enjoy the fullness of life. Why does it depend on us? Not live abundantly. I don't mean abundantly with all the things that we have in materialistic society. But he's talking about the fact that our lives can be filled with love and joy and peace and happiness and patience and goodness and kindness. Things that only come because Jesus came. The thief comes to steal and to take away from you. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life in the most abundant way. The joy of salvation. The joy of fellowship. The joy of what we have today. I'm sitting in this room as a congregation of the Lord's people, to mingle our voices and pray and to enjoy them. I have come to give you a new life. A new life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new. Maybe today you sit here and you're struggling with sin. Maybe today you're sitting here and you're battling those demons of various things in your life. Jesus says, let me help you. I have come that you might be a new creature. That old things can be washed or passed away, and all things can become as new. And so if you will come and reenact what Jesus has said for us, his death, burial, and resurrection, by being buried with him in baptism. Not that there's anything in the water, but that by faith in the water, we reenact his death, burial, and resurrection, and through that faith, his blood washes away. Just like you take that garment, that soiled and dirty and muddy, and put it in the water. And you put the tide in it, and then you let it wash, and then you take it out, and it's nice and clean, and it smells so good. You take those sheets, and we don't do that anymore. I haven't said this in a long time. Nothing smells better than sheets that have been hung on the phone. You know, you put it in the dryer now, but if you've never experienced that smell, you ought to try it sometimes. Hang your sheets out in the clothes, and then put it in. That's amazing how. You have to talk about it. But if you put them out on the clothesline, they just smell so good and so refreshed, you know. But the point is that this is what happens to us. In Jesus Christ, we come out of the grave of baptism and we're fresh and we're clean because our sins have been washed away and we have a new beginning. Every January, my speech to my students is this. That's the last result. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. I would show you my great book back when we had but I would show them the great book and I would say, look, there are no breaks here. You have no zeros. You have no F as of today. But the point is that we don't start out. And that's the way it is when we come out of the grave of baptism. We all have an aim for us. But we're fresh. Hey, if that's serious, man. Aren't you thankful for the church? Wasn't it beautiful yesterday to see one of the sisters come together to share and get to do something as an act of benevolence and kindness and love? That's what family is. That's what you see we do as a community of God who believes within the body of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. But on the day of Pentecost, you can unlock the kingdom. And the Apostle Paul can say to those in the city of Colossae, he can say, look, that one time I was in, out there in the darkness of sin. But by the power of God, I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So that day that you were immersed, that you were baptized, and you experienced that newness of life, you were headed to the kingdom. You may or may not be a citizen of the United States. You may or may not be a citizen of any particular country. But I'm telling you, the minute you were buried with Christ, with baptism, and the right left, you become a citizen. In the kingdom of God, and Jesus is your king. That's the greatest kingdom. Do we think about Thanksgiving? The answer is yes. It's salvation. Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 5, the writer says, "Though he were a son, that part of the obedience by the things that he suffered, the thing made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. All of those who will obey him." Jesus Christ. It was not an option. It was a man. Man was law. From the very beginning of time, when Satan tempted Eve and Adam in the garden, and they sinned, it appeared that Satan had won a victory, and he did score a minor victory. But God looked at him and he said, "Let me explain something to you, Mr. Bell. The day you have stomped on my foot, the day's coming, and I crush you." And on that day that Jesus came forth from the grave to conquer over death and hell and the grave, the devil knew that he had been crushed. And his power was removed. When we read the book of Revelation, when we talk about the binding of Satan, understand, Satan is bound and limited as to what he can do. He can only harm you if you will allow him to do so. You're saved. I hope the concept of salvation means something to you. Imagine being overboard. For me, especially, I mean, right there, I can't do it. Falling overboard in the water, and quickly someone gets you a life jacket, or they throw you a life jacket or a preserver, and you hang on to it, and you're saved. How often do we hear those beautiful human interest stories of someone who saved someone else's life? That's what we have. He saved our soul. The fire of the pit. We have two keys in the episode that we created. The first one is the concept of the kingdom. So think about that, the goodness of God leads to repentance. So as I think about the idea of us giving in thanksgiving, to think about the idea of what we can do is the fact. So I think about it and I think about, okay, what all God has done for me, what all God has given to me, and I think surely that should lead me to be. It's given. Should lead me to be willing to turn to my sins and repentance. It should cause me to be willing to do what God wants me to do, to turn to my sins and repentance, and to live a life to His honor and glory in sacrificial living. The eye and our interpretation. We're different people. You know, just recently I went and spent some time up at the office up here of T-Dot to get a new driver's license. It wasn't as long as it was. I got there very early. I got there at 7 o'clock. They didn't open the late 30, so I was in line for a very good time. But I saw one of the people come. I jumped out of the car about 9 o'clock in quickly. I wanted one of those new driver's licenses that we're not going to have to get. It's got this fancy little. But anyhow, so it's got this seal on it, and it kind of is your identification. To give you have to take all this stuff with you, you have to take like an electric bill to show that you actually live in this place. But you have to take an original birth certificate. You can't have a copy. An original birth certificate. And I took the passport because I had a passport. And my other driver. All this identification. So they would know who that is. know, if I choose to break the law driving down the road, I have proper identification to show the police officer is going to make that occur, or if it's used like that, maybe to use the vote. That we all ought to have that vote as a citizen of this country. Who we are a citizen of this country, which is going to exercise their right to vote into the citizen. So I think that's a good idea. So it's identification. Who am I? Well, I'm Darrell Lincoln, different. I'll be honest with you. Jesus came to give us a new identification. We're a chosen people. We're members of the royal priesthood. We're children of God. We're Christians. We have a new identification. He came to give us victory over death. Oh, death, where is your shame? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The strength presents the law. Sting of sin being death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15. Because you see, Jesus conquered it. And because he conquered it, he says, I'm going to come back. Remember, I'm going to prepare a place. I will come back and receive you again. So we have victory over death. We have an inheritance that does not fade away, which is incorruptible. You know, no one in this life may name you in their will. You may go through this whole life and not be in anyone's will. You want to put me in your will, I won't call it in. But the point is that you may go through this whole life and not be in anyone's will. But you are. Because you see, the Apostle Paul says that if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God. We're in God's will already. And so if we're a child of God, we're going to receive an inheritance. It's not going to be of gold and silver, but it's an incorruptible inheritance that does not fade away. It's the things that money can't buy. It's salvation. It's eternal life. I'm going to be honest with you. If somebody dies and needs you $10 million, you're not getting it. But this inheritance, I'm going to give you that eternity. There's no condemnation to end. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We no longer have to stand before the judge and hear him say, guilty. But we stand before the judge and he says, innocent. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish. I have everlasting. Thanksgiving, which helps us to reflect on truth in heaven, and abundance and newness of life, the kingdom of salvation, the giving that our new identity, the victory we have in Jesus, and an inheritance that does not fade away, no condemnation. Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. Thank you, Lord. Lay our first to give thanks. God challenge God. Show your thanks today by accepting Jesus, the Son of God. Thank you for coming to this morning. Throughout this week, but throughout every day of our lives, let us be thankful. What God has done for us.